So I went, yeah, you know, you can go to my office and.
Okay, it's 10 after. Any more of the meeting, or do we have, we don't have a quorum yet, do we?
We have five.
Yeah, five is a quorum, okay, well, let's go ahead and get started. Good, Susie, you go to roll call.
Commissioner Lanas. Commissioner Kelly.
Here.
Commissioner Walters.
Here.
Commissioner Kampbach.
Present.
Commissioner Torres. Commissioner Jarman.
Here.
Commissioner Alexander. Commissioner Fritz.
Here.
And Commissioner Elliott.
So, we do have a quorum, I understand, so go ahead and proceed with the flag salute.
Okay, shall we do the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of our country? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sorry.
Order, okay. All right, so first item, comments. Approval of the draft minutes. Anybody want to make a motion?
You do have public comments.
Oh, we'll do that first?
Yes.
Okay.
Marvin Norman.
Good afternoon, officers. Staff, my name is Marvin Norman, resident of the 7th Ward here in the city, and I'm coming today to speak about the conditions that we have in the city concerning traffic safety. As I understand, this is also the forum where you guys discuss that. So I'm concerned about this because I live here in the city, and as you can see, I have a young son, and I am a bicyclist. I like to travel around the city by bicycle. And I know a lot of other people in the city also travel around by bicycle, and whether they would like to or because most economical way for them to do so. A lot of other people also find themselves walking around the city, and most of those type of users are known as vulnerable users because we don't have a steel cage around us when we're traveling around. And in the city, unfortunately, we've had, as you guys can see in the stats I've passed to you guys, there's been a rash of traffic collisions and crashes that have resulted in a lot of people being killed, and far more people being injured, and a lot of property damage as well. And it also takes up a lot of police time, as the officers have to go out there and report direct traffic around the people who are there being cleaned up, and etc. So the city has not been doing a very good job of addressing the conditions that are causing crashes, and so that unfortunately has led to a rate of crashes that has been increasing over the last several years. And the crashes also exact an economic toll on the city, because not only are the officers involved in cleaning up, but each person who is crashed, they maybe if they're injured, you know, that's a family that might lose their main breadwinner for a couple weeks or a couple months even, and that puts them in dire straits in their housing situation or their food. But it's children. Unfortunately, I know there was a young lady who was killed earlier this school year. I believe that was a county pocket, but it was still, and that was still a very dangerous situation where I see a lot of kids who are often forced to try to navigate the streets between speeding cars, and even in front of the schools, those 25 mile per hour speed limit signs are like mere suggestions as people are zipping by at high rates of speed during school bell times. And so I'd like to see the city start to really take this serious and really make some strides toward addressing the traffic safety issues. I know a couple years ago they went ahead and raised the speed limits because the rationale is that you have to use a fifth percentile to be able to enforce speed limits. But you could also use that same opportunity to make engineering changes to lower speed limits at the same time. And it would be great to see the city start to take those types of things. So I would really love to see the city start use something like a complete streets ordinance and start to address this situation. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments from the commissioners? Response? All right. Any other speakers?
No.
All right, now we'll go to the approval of the minutes. I need somebody to make a motion to approve.
I second.
Okay. All approve? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. All right, going to item number two, firework presentation, State of California, State of Emergency by Harry Hatch, requested by Commissioner Kelly. And there's a little note here, it's a recommendation to receive and file. Commissioner, did you have a different, is that what you wanted, or did you want to do something different?
I wanted a recommendation for action, but I was, when I called Susie this morning, she suggested to wait until he does his presentation and then make a motion for action. Is that a correct way to go forward with this?
If that's what Susie recommended, I believe that that would be the correct way to do it.
Okay.
Harry, did you want to start your presentation?
Which one?
Which one did you have?
That one's fine.
Anywhere.
Is that one the recorded one?
They'll record.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Good evening. My name is Harry Hatch. I'm here at the request of Sean Kelly, the commissioner, from the third ward.
Second
word. Problem.
That's okay.
I'm here to address the issue of fireworks sales in the city of San Bernardino. I have a small presentation here. Shouldn't take too long, and I'll answer any questions as they go through. If it goes through. Which way do I point, sir?
Radio should be on.
There it goes. Anyway, I'm a 45-year law enforcement veteran. I had 34 years with San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department, 20 of which was in the arson and bomb unit. We did explosives, ordnance, disposal, and investigations, as well as fires. I'm a graduate of the FBI Bomb School, National Fire Academy, certified fire investigator, investigator for over 30 years, and a hazardous materials technician, and a certified post instructor for the Post Academy. I bring these points to your attention because I'm not just standing here because I don't like fireworks. And as a matter of fact, I do like fireworks, but they do no good. This is a bulk fireworks display getting ready to be destroyed back in the early 90s. We had gathered a 4th of July celebration out at our range to get rid of. At that point in time, we could do that. We can make live burns, allowing function, the explosives, the function is designed, letting them go off and to burn out. And to do that, you get something like this going on. Well, at the present time, we can't do that. All of the explosives that are obtained during the 4th of July are saved and sent to the state fire marshal. The state fire marshal has to have them packaged in a specific manner. This manner means that they are to be transported to a disposal site outside of the state because they are not disposed of in the state, all of which costs money. This is what the 4th of July looks like. Crazy illegal fireworks blowing stuff up, and the guys are out there just waiting for an opportunity to do it. In the state of California, section 12505 of the Health and Safety Code provides information on what fireworks are. first part of this is just a list of chemicals that they themselves, possession of, can be deemed a possession of an illegal explosive. Looking on down, it describes what firecrackers are, what skyrockets are, et cetera, in the code. Now, this all has to do with the state law. In the city of San Bernardino, this is the code of regulations which states that anything that looks like a firecracker that has 0.772 grains of pyrotechnic composition or 50 milligrams of pyrotechnic composition is no longer a firecracker. It is an explosive as defined in section 12,000 of the Health and Safety Code. It is an explosive. Okay? That means it can be a felony. These are skyrockets, or rockets that go up in the air. They're propelled by black powder. This is how they're made. Each one of these can be a single felony if handled properly. The Health and Safety Code defines in section 12511 what fireworks are and what pyrotechnic devices are. There are pyrotechnic devices that are legal. They're legal to have. Highway flares. Highway flares are legal pyrotechnic devices. However, they can be used to start fires. This is the municipal code. I'd go through this, except it really doesn't make any difference. The municipal code is a great ordinance that has absolutely no effect because it's handled under an administrative hearing. I've sat in here and watched the administrative hearings. They are not handled in a manner consistent with other administrative hearings which I have been witness to and testified in. You do not get a fine. If you do get a fine, there's no prerequisite to pay that fine. In a code of the Health and Safety Code. In the Health and Safety Code, it says you go to court, in a regular court, and you get fined. If you get fined there, it's a violation, a misdemeanor, which makes it a crime. Being an administrative code, it's an infraction. And there is no crime for failure to pay an infraction. There's no teeth to the ordinance. These are firecrackers. We're going to go through this real quick, like that's what some of these things look like. Firecrackers, all of these are illegal in the state, period. These are torpedoes. Some of these torpedoes are legal in the state as safe and sane, but most of them are illegal because they're manufactured in China with false safe and sane stamp on them and are imported. Skyrockets, all skyrockets, anything that goes up in the air is illegal in the state of California. Roman candles, they're all illegal in the state of California. Rockets, skyrockets, all illegal. Aerial mortars, like the ones that you saw, the close picture, they're all illegal in the state of California. You can't be setting them off, you can't be having them. Cates, these are multiple shot rocket launchers. They go off in a series of 12, 24, up to 100. You light a fuse, and 100 of them will go off one at a time, all night long. This is what happens when you take safe and sane fireworks and you use them in a manner consistent with not how they were designed. On the left, you have those snap pops put into a plastic bottle, shaken up, a reaction takes place. It overpressurizes and it blows up. On the right, you have a taped bottle that had a ground flower, which is a safe and sane firework, put in it. And as it goes off, it continues to make pressure, and the pressure continues to expand until it blows up, again, making a bomb. I was going to show you this if Can you hit play for me? This is one of those bottle bombs going off. The overpressurization at the seat of that explosion is in excess of 100 psi, 100 additional pounds per square inch of atmospheric pressure. A close proximity to that detonation could cause death and or injury. Again, here's some more fireworks, stuff that you'll find out on the street. Some of these are safe and sane, some of these are not. These are commercial grade fireworks. This is the stuff that they use at the shows. They're bigger, they're larger, and they're handled by experts, and they're meant to show pyrotechnic displays. That's where your fireworks should be gone, beginning. This is a fireworks interdiction point. In Baker, California, we used to go up there every year to try to stop the flow of fireworks coming from Pahrump. Now, the fireworks flow into the United States comes from China mostly. There are some from Mexico and a few places in the United States where they are legal to manufacture, such as Tennessee, Alabama, some places in Nevada, and some places in New Mexico. But most of them come in from China. They land at the Port of Long Beach or San Pedro. They then are transported by truck, our commercial trucks, in locked and sealed containers all the way to Pahrump, Nevada, New Mexico, and Arizona, where they're resold. They're resold as what they call common fireworks. And they're sold to anybody that wants to buy them as long as they're over the age of 18. Then what happens? They're transported back into the state of California and used for the celebration of the 4th of July and other things. This is part of the checkpoint. During this 1 year, the 1 day that I spent up there in 2006, I personally seized over 800 pounds coming across the border. There were approximately 8 of us up there. We had somewhere in the neighborhood of 45,000 pounds seized in 1 day. And that's just a drop in the bucket. About one in every 40 to 50 carloads coming in to this state are actually found and seized. Fireworks accidents, this is where the problems come in. By age, they're between 9% are under the age of 4. That means they were in the area. But as you look up there, you see between 25 and 44 is a high degree of injuries. That's because the young adults play with them more than the kids do. Injuries by gender, guys, we play with more fireworks than women do. 74% are male injuries, 26% are female injuries. Mostly because the females are watching us set them off, and we're setting them off, and they go boom when they should. Some of the injuries, body parts, you can see most are around the hands and face and eyes. These are what some of the injuries are. It's all fun and games until someone blows their hands off. And that's what happens when firework such as an M80 goes off in the hand of an individual. That's an x-ray before of a hand and the x-ray after that injury took place. Fireworks injuries, most of the injuries are caused by fireworks that are sold as common fireworks. Only 4% are handled at fireworks displays. Structure fires. Fireworks start structure fires. In this case, in Fontana, this building went down just prior to the 4th of July. The firemen found what they thought was a point of origin. We looked at that point of origin, which was in and around a mobile home park, which they knocked it down so it didn't get into. But we looked close, but we found that the places they thought it started, well, that firework didn't go off. So that's not it. The next one, that firework didn't go off. So that didn't start it. Look around a little bit more, which is what you have to do, and there's a number three that we found. You can see up in, above the three, the red firework has gone off, and it has burned the grass right there next to it, causing the fire, which caused the fire to continue to burn. These are some of the fireworks that were found in the San Bernardino area. I believe it was 2 years ago in the city. The safe and sane up there on the left-hand side is somewhat erroneous. There's no such thing as a safe and sane firework. This is where a device was put in a mailbox. You can see how the pressure pushed it. It was made by TNT. TNT fireworks are out of Tennessee. It was what they call an M60. Now what they do is they take the 0.772 grains of pyrotechnic composition, which is about 50 milligrams, and they put it in a small capsule. And then they surround that capsule with plaster of Paris, thereby holding it together for a longer period of time to create a bigger boom. Now they haven't gone and violated the law, but they have created a larger explosion by keeping it confined for a longer period of time as it goes on. Taking out the mailbox, you can see that it was a burning fuse and a sign where all the paint, or excuse me, the wood has been burned away. One more. Okay. Kids play with fireworks and play with explosives. Went off in his hand. Fireworks can kill you. This kid decided he wanted to smoke an M80 in Rancho Cucamonga about 7 years ago, and he blew his face off. One more. And there are those charming individuals that just decide we're going to have fun. And they're going to shoot 24 shots from a cake at one of their friends just to see what would happen. This is what I mean when you set them off. Once they start going, they continue to go. It will go until all 24 rounds are expended. There's no way you can put it out. You can throw water on it. It will continue to burn. And it will continue to burn to a point to where it can hurt other people. Now you see, he's getting some hits real close to his face. One's going to go inside the helmet there for a little bit. And now he's taking off his shirt because he's burning up. And what do? They put the water on the shirt. They didn't put the water on him. Fourth of July, 2013. Up in Simi Valley, they had a regular pyrotechnic show that went a malfunction, and it blew up ahead of time. Something went wrong. I don't know, because I wasn't involved in this one, exactly what went wrong, but they all went off at one time. There were several injuries, no deaths. The old fire, 2003, was started by a highway flare up old Waterman Canyon. This is why they can cause uncontrolled wildfires and injuries. We had a death in that fire. We had several deaths. And the person who actually set that fire is on death row at the present time. Hemlock Fire, 1997. helicopter pilot died while fighting that fire. That fire was started by an M-100. The Hemlock fire was right up Harrison Canyon. The helicopter pilot was fighting the blaze. He went in to make a drop. The Bell helicopter malfunctioned. The Hemlock fire was apparently sparked on Saturday by an illegal firework. I know it was because I investigated that case myself. And the white male, 27, was arrested for and booked for unlawfully starting a fire, and he was convicted of manslaughter. Felony murder rule, arson or unlawful burning resulting in the death of a victim may result in the charge of murder. Arsonists and fire setters are responsible for their actions. That's why there's a felony murder rule. Yucaipa, 2006, Sand Canyon, started with ground bloom flowers, a safe and sane firecracker, a safe and sane firework. This is the city of San Bernardino. This is where we now allow, during a certain portion of the year, the sale of safe and sane fireworks. This is the area where no fireworks are allowed to be ignited, even in the city of San Bernardino. And why do you think they put that there? That area. Well, because of the old fire, because of the Panorama fire, because of the Slide fire and the Butler fires before it. All of those were caused by pyrotechnics and or arson. Okay? Except for one of the Slide fires, which was originally started by a lightning strike. The state of California has declared a state of emergency as of March 22nd, 2019. Whereas the state of emergency has been proclaimed to exist in the state of California due to the vast tree die-off throughout the state, which has increased the risk of wildfires. I am suggesting that the commission think about sending a resolution to the Common Council requesting that they do not sell fireworks this year. And you have a copy of that suggested resolution in front of you. And it basically lays out the reasons for it and refers the looking at the sale of fireworks back here to the commission so you can obtain further information. Some of the information you might want to know is that it costs $84.52 to get a permit to sell fireworks. And you might have to get a generator, so that's $109 extra. Now, last year, about 31 permits were issued in the city for the sale of fireworks, mostly to nonprofits, but some to other folks that were just selling. Of that, the city recouped $5,851.87 for the sale of those fireworks. The police department spent somewhere in the neighborhood of $33,422 in overtime. That's just in overtime. That's not the cost of picking up the fireworks. That's not the cost of transporting the fireworks out of the city. That's not the cost of the wear and tear on the equipment. That's not the cost of all of the people that had to be involved, not just the overtime people, but the regular people that were on duty at the time. According to information I have received, approximately 1% of the total profits at the stand are sent to the city, which gave them a total of approximately $60,000 that they got in fees. However, that went to the fire department because all of those fireworks laws are enforced by the fire marshal. It didn't go to the city, didn't help the PD in. It went to the fire department. Now, the fire department has a problem, too. Each one of those stands, they have to go around every 2 hours they're open and check to see if they're doing it okay. And another thing, these stands don't all get resale licenses. So therefore, you're not getting the sales tax. This is a lose-lose situation. We are not getting the things we need to perform the function of safety for our people. Fireworks do no good for our city. That's what happens when somebody has one go off in his hand. I don't want to have to sit here and say that I'm sorry. The law is too political to protect the kingdom. We need to do something with fireworks. Any questions?
Is there any amount that's collected on the site fees at all, the sites that go out, or there's no fees collected?
No, only things that the city collects is the permits.
Permits only.
Yes. At least that's what I have been told. I got some information that I would be able to share later on down the line from Santa Ana, indicating what they did when they had a grand jury investigation into fireworks in Orange County, and it showed that they were not really making any money whatsoever. And it was a loss all the time.
Harry.
Yes, sir.
What cities are actually selling fireworks right now? Or I should say maybe which ones are banning fireworks in the immediate area?
As far as I know, Colton, Grand Terrace, City of San Bernardino,
Rancho
Cucamonga. And I'm not sure if Montclair still is doing it or not.
Chino Hills also.
Mm-hmm. I think there's six cities in the county. Otherwise, fireworks are illegal in the county.
Okay. Any questions?
One thing I'll point out is that all fireworks, whether safe and sane or otherwise, are illegal north of 30th Street Freeway in the city. Safe and sane are allowed south of the freeway. The problem that we have in the city is not the safe and sane necessarily, but the amount of illegal fireworks used throughout the city. The amount of the fireworks booths are primarily run by nonprofits who claim that they derive a lot of their income for the year from the fireworks sales. There is a fee associated with each sale of fireworks that goes to pay for overtime for enforcement. Regardless of whether the city outlawed safe and sane or not, that's not going to abate the problem that we have of illegal fireworks, because that is the absolute problem in the city, and it's amazing the amount of fireworks that are brought in the city illegally and let off. Part of the funds that are collected pay for investigation by our officers leading up to the 4th of July, and then on the 4th of July to abate that problem. A lot of those illegal fireworks are sold on Craigslist and other formats. They are brought into the state primarily from Arizona, and they're brought in. And so what we do is we set up stings for them. We buy, set up stings that buy fireworks for people off Craigslist. We arrest people with hundreds, if not thousands, of pounds of illegal fireworks in the city and in the surrounding area. But it's not just a problem that's associated here with the city. Even those cities that have banned safe and sane have the same amount of illegal fireworks going off as we do. It is a very big problem, and the money that's collected from the sale of safe and sane, some of it goes towards the enforcement. But regardless of whether they're banned altogether, it'll take away some funding sources that we have to go out there and combat the illegal fireworks. But it's not going to create the problem, cause the problem to go away, because the problem is not the people complaining about illegal fire or safe and sane fireworks. It's about the use of illegal, and the big mortars going off. There are some people letting off the amount of fireworks that rival the professional displays on the streets.
If I could just throw this out to you, Chief, and I'm not saying that you're right, you're absolutely right. We're not going to stop it all. But by stopping at the present time the sale of safe and sane, now you don't allow any fireworks in the city. I'm a patrol car dog. I come up, I see fireworks, debris. You can't have fireworks. Now I have a reason to investigate. Whereas if it's an infraction and they're saying they're using safe and sane, I don't know whether they're using Safe and Sane or if they're the ones I saw shooting the stuff off before. Fireworks are fireworks. So if they're illegal, you have a way to get into and find out if they're the ones doing it. Just a little simple process.
And having worked, we'll have 30, 40, 50 police officers working overtime on the 4th of July just to combat the use of illegal fireworks. Part of the problem is that a lot of these fireworks displays go off in the street. You only have, literally, as the officer turns down the street, hundreds of people out on the street letting off fireworks. And then, of course, who do you attribute it to who let off the Safe and Sane or even illegal fireworks? And we do make arrests for Safe and Sane north of the 30th Freeway. But, you know, it's a major problem.
When you say we make arrests, you're issuing a citation.
Okay. And that is an arrest.
That's correct. But in this case, being the infraction, there's
Harry,
no
Harry,
way to pay.
We got to get a little order here.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir.
All right.
I'm not in favor of the resolution. I understand exactly what you're saying, Harry. I'm with you 100%. I've seen people that have had their hands, I mean, literally blown off. I've seen it personally. For a number of years, I rode around with the police department right along as a chaplain during the 4th of July, and I've seen a lot of what you have been showing. However, the problem, as the chief pointed out, is that if we stop the revenue, then we won't then only bring the city back into spending more money that they have not received anything back from to help account for that. And another thing, too, it all comes, you know, most of what you've shown here comes from out of state, comes from Nevada. And that's the problem. It's not the Safe and Sane. There are difficulties with Safe and Sane, but that's not the real problem. The real problem is if you stand on the corner of Dade Street and Del Rosa at 9 o'clock on the 4th of July, which I have done for the last couple of years, you will see nothing but fireworks going off in the air. It has nothing to do with the sale of safe and sane within the city. And to ban it within the city, I think is just almost cutting off your nose to spite your face, because you're losing revenue that you would normally have to be able to go out and do something. Am I right, Chief?
There is an amount of revenue that's brought in to offset the cost of the overtime. And regardless, the cry will be to, regardless of whether it's Safe and Sane or not, is to go out there and do enforcement, because it's still going to be the same amount of illegal fireworks going on, which we do spend a lot of resources. Our SET team last year and the year before spent a lot of time leading up to the 4th of July doing undercover operations and stuff.
And did a good job.
And they took a lot of illegal fireworks, but it's amazing that the amount that we took off, which was thousands of pounds, didn't seem to make any dent on the amount of illegal fireworks going on. And that's not just here. If you go on the high ground, you can look across the San Bernardino Valley, and it's not just San Bernardino, it's every city, whether they have Safe and Sane or not. And just incredible the amount of illegal fireworks that goes off.
Commissioner German, did you have, I'm sorry.
And I do know for a fact that a lot of the nonprofits do receive some of their discretionary funds, a lot of their discretionary funds that they use for charitable activities from the Safe and Sane fireworks sales.
And believe me, the fireworks people know that, and they push it.
They don't
get a percentage of what they should. Most of this goes back to China.
Okay.
Most of
the money goes to
China.
Yeah. Okay.
I had a couple of questions, and I was going to piggyback on what the chief mentioned about illegal fireworks. I noticed that there always seems to be an influx of the illegals are going to, especially the 4th of July and some of the other holidays. Now, I was going to ask, how would the non-issuance of permits impact the illegal fireworks coming into the city? Aren't the permits issued the year before the holiday?
I think they're issued in April before this year.
In April of this year?
April this year.
But the vendors who they apply the year prior to the commission. I'm not abreast as to what protocol is for applying and issuing permits.
And neither is I able to find out specifics either, sir.
Okay, and one other observation, I think some of the information that you gave regarding the cost for enforcement or
those came from the city clerk.
Right. I'm suggesting that information, I think, should be in a resolution to give additional weight in terms of.
Again, this resolution that I gave you was just a suggestion.
I think that what would be appropriate if the commission decided to do so was to make a recommendation to the council.
Because
you are an advisory commission. Okay. And so you can make a recommendation to the city council take action to do something.
Okay.
But that's up to the city council whether or not they want to take that up or not.
So is that something we can do through a recommendation?
Well, let's finish the comments here. If you have any more comments.
Okay. Yeah, I worked at the panorama bar. I was with the patrol when the bar came all the way down to the freeway, to the 15 freeway.
Yeah, the only comment that I would have is that I think that if we pass this, that we're not going to change the effectiveness of what's going to happen.
No.
It's going to be a moot point. We need something to replace have the nonprofits do something different than sell fireworks before we can say and take this away from the nonprofits. So I'm not going to necessarily be for this, but it's up to the rest of the commission. I just want to let you know what my feelings were. This is something maybe should have started last year.
Tried.
Yeah. But maybe this is something that we can start focusing on next year. I think it's going to be way too late to even consider anything for this year.
The only reason it came to you this point, I apologize for being as late as it is, but when the governor issued his state of emergency, it indicated to me that here is a source of ignition for forest fires that you could remove from the picture.
Yeah, but it's, again, commercial fireworks or the illegal type fireworks versus the safe and sane. I see a big difference in them, and so I'd like to see a study as to how many fires are started by safe and sane versus the illegal fireworks. And I don't know if you have that information or not, but the specific information from our city, not just general, before we actually make a decision. I don't think that the statistics are going to be that much higher. Safe and sane, I don't think that they're as dangerous as the commercial ones.
Depends on how they're used.
It depends how they're used, yeah. So, Sean, did you have a...
Oh, I wanted to see if I could do change it from the recommendation to file to action on this. And I don't know, maybe do if we can do a formal letter to the city council.
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is get a motion going to find out what we're going to do.
I would like to suggest, and I'll make it in the form of a motion if we want to, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to suggest that we table this until September. And in September, have the facts available to us about what happened this last July, this last 4th of July, or this coming 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And in September, we can sit and we can make a more learned recommendation, or we could study it further, but not something that we should really necessarily pick up and push for this year at this time.
Sounds like a reasonable
motion.
Do we have a second?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so the motion would be to table it until September and do an analysis of...
This coming 4th of July.
The results of...
Statistics. Whether arrests and amounts of fireworks seized, both safe and sane or illegal.
Yeah, if we could have a separation of the two so that we can have a little bit of an understanding, if we kind of put them all together...
Perspective from the police department, perspective from the fire department.
We're the primary source of enforcement. And of course, it's easiest to do north of 30th Freeway or across town because everything's illegal. But we don't see the primary use of fireworks at north of 30. It's primarily south, illegal and otherwise. I think because people realize that they'll be more easily singled out north of, maybe.
Chief, who put the signs out last year saying that when you went down 30, down 30, if there were signs out saying...
It's a sign, signboard.
You did?
Yes.
You guys did?
Yes.
May I ask, do you have signs for the Paris Hill Park area? Because that falls within the no firework area on that little map, too. Is there a way that we could put signs out around Paris Hill Park?
Of course.
Because I know my neighborhood where I'm at, it's
Paris Hill
Park.
Yes.
But I have illegal fireworks all over my neighborhood, and I'm right next to the park.
Not a problem. We'll look into it, and if there is no sign, we can install a sign.
Perfect. Thank you.
Do we have some kind of hotline number? Because sometimes a neighbor will not be okay with somebody bringing out really big fireworks, and they can call right away, and, you know.
Yeah, they can just call the administrative line of the police department and report that and give as much information as possible. Hopefully that, you know, there would be officers that just respond to fireworks calls because they're on overtime for that specific purpose. But hopefully when they get there, the person's still actually physically letting off the fire because they have to make the observation. But, or if someone's willing to say, yeah, I'll sign us, this is arrest, they did it, well, you know, I watched it, then it just comes down to that nuances. But of course, if it's an illegal firework, and then the officer just has to see him in possession of it. So,
thank you.
In possession of it or lighting it off?
Possession alone of an illegal firework is a crime.
Okay, because I know some of the cities have written with their ordinance for the homeowners for the underage drinking. They've added the fireworks on top of that, but that ordinance, is that something the city could look at in the future?
Well, safe and sane are legal to possess.
Yes.
I think if they're over the age of 18, I think that's the age.
Yes.
But the
actually, it's still 16.
16. But illegal fireworks, depend on the size and the type, could be classified as a dangerous explosive device, equivalent to having a bomb. And I think it's a $500,000 bail, thereabouts.
Yes, sir.
And it's a felony, so not a problem getting those people for that.
Oh, no, that's okay. That makes sense then. Okay.
Right. So, given the motion, do you still want to make that change for the action?
If that'll go forward for September, will that still make us going forward? Even though we table it, will the motion to action get us to September then? Is that correct?
How does that work? I don't know.
I'm not sure on that one.
We just bring it back and
just bring it back.
Provide a report on what type of enforcement.
Because right now it's recommendation in file, so I don't have to do a recommendation in action at this point?
Well, the recommendation of the commission is to bring this item back in September.
September?
So
okay.
With the report from the police department.
Okay.
Yeah.
That
so it's going to be agendized for September meeting.
I'm available to help in any way I can.
Sure.
That worked. Thank you.
That was an excellent presentation. Thank you. I'm a pyrotechnic trainee. So I really enjoyed that presentation.
Chair, before we go into the next meeting, I think we have one more public speaker that would like to address the commission, if you don't mind.
So I was going to ask you.
Yes. Let's go ahead.
Go ahead.
David Friedman.
Is good?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Hi, I'm David Friedman. I appreciate you giving me the 3 minutes here. I'll tell you something so you understand how much I love bicycling. I'm Jewish, and I'm not allowed to put tattoos on my body, and I have an appointment in August to get my first tattoo. It's of a bicycle. Friday I'm about to leave to Copenhagen, which is the bicycle capital of the world. They're known for their... more people bicycle in Copenhagen than they use cars. In fact, it takes the same amount of time in Copenhagen to get somewhere with a bike as it does with a car because of their innovative bicycling strategies. So I'm here to talk a little bit about the bicycling and public safety. If you go to Redlands, they have a huge bicycling community, but they've made some very large mistakes. I think every city loves to just throw down some lines, some green paint, and call it a day. And yeah, you have your hardcore bicyclists, they'll go out, they'll use it. The problem is that doesn't create a city that promotes bicycling. In fact, there's studies done that shows cars feel safer driving closer to bicyclists when there's those lines. So actually it does the opposite effect when it comes to safety. I implore the city. The city of San Bernardino has missed 3, maybe 4 real estate cycles. I purchased 9 buildings across from the from City Hall. I own Viva La Boba. I don't know if you heard it, where a new tea and coffee shop we opened. I'm trying to change the city and make it the city of the future. We've gotten marketing in the past. We've done a lot of what I think to be good things for the city. And I implore the city to, if you're going to spend money on bicycle safety, just save yourself some money and time and do it the right way the first time. I think there should be a public committee to help decide some of these rules and ordinances. I would happy to be like volunteer and be on that committee. But the one main thing is there needs to be separation. That's what I'm here to say. It can't just be a painted line. The sidewalk either needs to be raised. If you look at Copenhagen, you can see what they've done. Or there needs to be poles, like metal poles, put in place. And if you do that, we don't just have bicycle lanes. We become a bicycle city. And you're setting the stage for the future of San Bernardino. You're setting the stage for us to lower our emissions. And you know we have a lot of pollution here in our air because we're in this like basin with the mountains here. So we can reduce that ourselves. It's safer. People are more productive. People make more money when they bicycle to work, and they save more money. It's just all around. So to do that, we need safe bike lanes. We need separate bike lanes. I really think we have a lot of grants that we've been approved for. So I just please take that into consideration when deciding anything with bicycles or bike lanes or bike safety. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Fair comment?
Yes.
Which one of you guys are responsible for bicycle lanes? Or who's responsible? I saw the figure.
Responsible. For like the striping of the bike lanes or the...
Well, you're talking about a bicycle lane plus.
Yeah.
Well,
dedicated.
So just not a bicycle lane, but something beyond that?
Well, that is, you know, I believe that the request that you have is to separate the bike lanes from the moving traffic. So in a way that has been happening, this bike lane, there's a 3 classes for bike lanes. Class 1, which is on the street, you are sharing the road with the car. Class 2, it's like have a small separation, but you're still sharing with the car. And then class 3, which is completely a path by itself for bicycles only and not sharing with anybody else, but with that and walking. So there is 3 different kind of bike lanes, and I need to talk to the planning department to see if they have a master plan for bike lanes within the city. That is, we need to look at. You know?
Could you do that? And bring
sure.
It back next month.
I'll talk to the community development director and see if he can, you know,
same
come.
Same time this week? Next week?
Next month.
No, it's
next
I
month.
Believe it's
next
a medical.
Yeah. Could I get that date? I would be asking for class 3 then.
Yeah, which is basically what is completely separate right away from the traveling mode, you know, vehicles. And in certain situation, you have some right away challenges for that. You know, I know that there's some city that they did that. You know, they have the separation between the autos and the. Bicyclist, but that is in the modern kind of setting. Remember, San Bernardino, the setting there is old, and you know, for us to go back and try to get right away to do it. So there's challenges, but of course, there's nothing impossible.
Maybe even a cost analysis.
Yes.
Right, so that we don't give Mr. Freeman the runaround, which would be the best focus for him to go to in the planning department
community
versus the street department?
Yes, community development department are the people that's responsible for the planning of that. So that is the one that, okay, you know what, this, for example, Waterman can be a class 3 bike lane. you know, or class one or class two. So they have that determination. And I believe if we weigh, because, you know, I believe that is the our community development department, at this point of time, they're doing, you know, an update to the general plan. And that's usually general plan, that's usually include bike lanes and stuff like that. So this is something that we can, you know, I will take his information and I will have the community development, you know, speak with him, explain to him the process, and you know, he'll be informed.
Hit it right on the nail on the head. That when you have an existing infrastructure, you're going to take away capacity from vehicle traffic, and so you have to acquire more right of way, and that's pretty costly to either purchase it from somebody or acquire it through eminent domain. And so you have, you know, restricting lanes and stuff like that. The best way to do it generally is when you do new development, and that's part of your development code, and then from the get-go, that's already built in, and you don't have to worry about acquiring additional right of way.
Can you put holes in? I know the bus down on East Street has those poles. Could you do something like
those,
that?
Those poles do are just a visual deterrent, really. It's not a barrier to traffic.
Well, no, it's not going to stop anybody from going.
Well, that's what he's asking. It's more of a safety measure to prevent vehicles from striking the bicyclists.
But isn't there law in the books? They
have to be just poles. It can be a raised sidewalk. There's options, but yeah.
But isn't there law in the books that the motorist has to stay 3 feet away from the bicyclist in the bicycle lane?
Usually the bicycle lane is about 8 feet
or whatever
wide.
It is, yeah. But I think
so,
there's a law in the books where they actually have to stay away, the motorist actually has to stay away from the bicyclist when you're passing them.
Mm-hmm.
You can be no further than, I think it was 3 feet or something like that by the bicyclist.
I'm not aware of
you
something
know,
like
from,
that.
From my experience, that we do have a number of traffic fatalities associated with
yes.
Vehicles and bicyclists. It tends to be a couple different factors. One of it could be inattention by the motorists.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, sometimes it's the fault of the cyclists because they're entering traffic at odd angles and not being aware of their surroundings and stuff like that. So it's a combination of both. And we do have a lot of traffic fatalities in the city. A lot of pedestrian and some bicyclists. Combination of both.
Do you have a comment, sir?
No, I was going to ask if we have any, if anything, do we have any class three in San Bernardino?
I do not think so.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Moving on. Item number three, present request sample of county quarterly report.
Yes, Chair and Commissioners. Based on the discussion that we've been having in the last few meetings, the Commission wanted to see some reports and information that is relayed to the City Council in regard to what are we doing. I let you a sample of what I do for the CIP projects. The CIP is our capital improvement programs that that take care of the buildings, streets, traffic control, parks, storm drains. So this is a sample that is, we go to the council with this one in a quarterly, every quarter, and we tell them, okay, this is what the CIP is, and this is where we are at. You know, what we did, what has been done, what's not been done, what's in design. So we were requesting that if you can look at this and see if that's the information that you guys like us after we present this to the council, if we can, we'd like us to present that to you. So just like a sample, and you can see it's, we have a $46 million worth of CIP projects in this city.
Right.
So, yeah.
Question on this?
Yes, sir.
I notice here on number 17, City Hall renovation, construction will start on the third quarter of fiscal year 18-19. Is that still on?
I'm sorry, which one?
1.7, City Hall renovation.
No, City Hall renovation, that's a project is not, we started on the facilities assessment. We are doing a report on the city, the old City Hall, you know, just to see what this will take to, you know, to it have a seismic issue, so we need to know how much it's going to cost. If we're going to go back and, you know, and occupy that building, what it will cost to rehab it. You know, so we looked at everything that is possible, seismic, HVAC, electrical, plumbing, ADA. So I'm not.
So the construction on the third quarter of 18-19 is not a realistic figure. Is that what you're saying?
No, this is to provide the seismic stability. We did have the report, but there is that is not an action that we need to do renovation. We still have to present the report to the State Council, tell them this is what the problem is, this is how much it's going to cost, and what is our next step is. But yeah, but the 18-19 is the not the construction. I'm sorry, that is that should be the report, or the report should be done by then.
All right, so I think this is probably way more than what I expected in terms of reporting. I was thinking of something on one page.
Okay. But this is, you know, just to give you information, this is what the City Council received from us in regard to the CIP update every quarter. So, and, you know, the CIP cannot, unfortunately, cannot be put in one page. It's a lot of projects that we have.
Chairman, I like it because it goes across. It shows you where you're at.
Yeah.
It's not, it then explains it to you kind of a little bit more detail, at least for somebody like me, what it is and what they're doing with it. So it makes a little bit more sense to me.
Yeah, very informative.
Yeah. But again, what I was kind of, and we're still going to have to develop this somehow, some kind of format that would be acceptable to all of us, or including the departments that provide it to us, because we don't want to create a problem for the department and then creating the form.
It's not a problem, Chairman, if you don't mind. It's not a problem because we do this for the council anyway. So
okay.
We present that, and we can, you know, if the council would like, we can bring that after we present to the council and say, this is what we present. We can do a presentation on it like we do to the council, or they can, you know, the chair, the commission can take a look at it and say, you know, if they have any questions, or they would have to answer. Completely up to you and how you want this information, you know, manipulated.
All right. I think the fire department has their own standardized form that it sounded like that they were going to give us, so I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what they're going to give us. From the PD, is something, I'm looking for something simplistic. I'm not looking for anything really complicated. Something with bullet points, talking points, so that, and some information might be a little tough, but I'd like to see response times on there that we can actually go to a meeting somewhere and we can say, hey, response, this is the average response time for this category type of call. Something very simplistic. I'm not looking for, we did this investigation or that investigation, but just some very basic information that we can use as talking points when we go out and talk to the public, and information that we can take back to our council person. Not anything really elaborate. And if we need something elaborate, then we'll ask for it. But as a standard presentation, just something real simple. I think I kind of laid out what I wanted, and I submitted it at a previous meeting. I don't know if those notes are still around. But I thought they were pretty simple. I didn't think they were complicated. So if that's something that's doable, that'd be great. I'd like it to come from the entire commission. I don't know if you guys had an opportunity to look at the notes that I handed out the last time. And so just a matter of formatting it and see how we're going to put it so that we can receive it in that format. Okay. So we'll do a future.
Well, I missed the last meeting. I was ill. However, I don't see a problem with this information.
No.
I mean, it's quite valuable.
No, actually, it's already there. He's already putting it out. This is great. I just didn't want him to go out of his way to provide our commission super detailed information. That's a lot of stuff. So
it is valuable.
All right, so we'll go ahead, and this will be just a continuous discussion in terms of developing the format and reporting format. So going to our commission reports and announcements. We'll go ahead and start with you.
All right. I've attended a few public meetings, and I was asked by the city councilman-elect to continue, and we'll need to continue as commissioner, and I don't know if he wants to reappoint me. Councilman for third ward elect, Juan Figueroa, has been continuing. And when coming up here, I assisted an officer with a traffic collision at the corner up here, so, but the lady was okay, everything was good, so that's about all I have.
Okay.
Thank you.
Councilman Fitz?
Nothing this month.
Actually, nothing this month for me either.
I'm sorry, it was late.
Do you have any of these?
Commissioner Jarman?
Other than I may, I think I'll be back east for our next meeting. On the 14th or the 17th of June, I'll be back east. So I may miss our next meeting. Other than that, I was ill at our, the last month, well, I caught the bug. But I'm still refamiliarizing myself with the area that, that's included in Ward 6, and I noticed that there's a lot of development going on all over the place. So I was trying to get some feeling of, as to you know, the things we need to be looking for and what I need to bring back to the committee and to the city as a whole. And as Ward 5 is not vacant anymore.
Town Ward 5.
Oh, okay. The reason that there was someone who expressed an interest in volunteering. Okay.
Commissioner George, did you have anything?
No.
All right. One of the things I'm going to ask the commission, I think, I don't want to be hard-nosed about it, but I think when we, when it comes to questions to go through the chair, as opposed to going directly to the person, to kind of have a little bit more order. Okay, that way I'll try to keep track as to whose turn is whose and just make it a little bit more orderly. But should you just happen to go directly to the chief and say, hey, not a big deal, but we just try to keep it a little bit more orderly. I did have a question, Chief. I did notice that we did have a few pedestrian vehicle 44s or traffic fatalities within the last couple of months, and I know that we've always had a problem with jaywalkers, and I'm not always aware of everything that's happening at the PD. Do we have any programs, or have we had any programs in the past, or are we planning anything in the future to maybe focus a little bit on the jaywalkers?
You know, our traffic unit has only four officers assigned to it. We're going to be changing that in the near future, and they're going to be given a direction to focus on traffic enforcement. One of those, as they brought forth the last council meeting, was the amount of traffic fatalities that we have in the city, both last year and to date. And there is a number of traffic fatalities that involve pedestrians. And generally, I would say all the fatalities involving pedestrians, usually it's the pedestrian that's at fault. Usually in the roadway, wearing dark clothes, and where it's unlit, jaywalking, and they're struck by passing motorists. So we'll focus in on some of those things. Obviously, one of the reasons why we want to build that traffic unit up higher is because the amount of traffic fatalities. We have nearly as many traffic fatalities as we do homicides. Neither number is good, but it's amazing that we have as many traffic fatalities as we have. And so we're going to put some enforcement on traffic. What those are going to look like specifically, I don't know yet, but we'll once we reconstitute that unit, we'll focus in on that, and some of it will be pedestrian.
Does enforcement of jaywalkers help?
Is that, you know,
good investment of time?
You know, it's amazing to me, recently, the amount of people who just disregard totally the color of the light and marks red, and even a crosswalk when against the red. And they think that traffic is just going to stop for them. But we all know today that there are many distractions for drivers, at least of being their phone, where they're not paying attention. And they may look up, see the light being green, and and they focus, hey, it's, I've got the right of way, I'm going, and then they don't really focus in, and these people are walking across the street against the red, and they're getting struck. So it's, you know, for some people, enforcement doesn't matter. A lot of people that are being struck are many times they're transients, and so they may have an issue with mental illness or drug and alcohol on board that are causing the disregard and new safety measures that most people would take into account when they're crossing the street. But that's not all of them, but it is a good number. A good number of the traffic details involving pedestrians and bicyclists are transients.
Is there anything that you feel the commission can do to help that situation in the city?
There's nothing that the commission can do. It's just for us to be able to dedicate the resources to do it. And we are moving in that direction. We are reconstituting some different types of enforcement teams, one of those being narcotics and human trafficking. But we also want to focus in on traffic safety as well.
All right, any other questions? I say we adjourn. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
All in favor? Okay, we're adjourned.
Oh, Chairman?
I want to apologize for being late, but Mr. Sanchez, Councilman, told me that the meeting was going to be at 710 East Street, North East Street.
And yes, that's
there,
what I was told.
There's no 710 East Street. I did find 710 D Street, which is a police station. Because he told me that's where we were having a meeting. I went in there, they walked me all through that, with nothing going on, and finally I decided to come and check over here. So I'm sorry.
No problem. We moved the meeting about 4 months ago from the police department, which is 710 North East Street, to this location. So
yeah.
But we found it. We found it. So.
This is the location for all commission meetings.
Thank you.